Okay, Spin Zone, to the BTK thing, if like I know what's up, like you're not like hiding in the shadows, serial killing me, like because like your games and such, I like one on one, I got him. I can take him down.
No, but he's sliding in, like he's a repair guy. He's sliding in.
Yeah, but Aaron, in the woods, you don't have anything you need repaired, so you know what's up.
My point is like that's another level. Like yeah. The bear doesn't have that kind of a knowledge base. The BTK right. guy does.
But he can't trick you in the woods and be like, hey, do you need your cell phone repaired? Let me.
Interesting. He can scheme you out of $5,000 by calling you.
But I also don't know.
Hey, what was your best friend's last name? Hello and welcome. Nope. Got in a rush. I was trying to beat. We're at 7 minutes, 30 seconds. I was like, ooh, what a good omen. We're at 7 minutes, 30 seconds.
Oh.
F***ed it up. Man. Okay. We'll go at 7:45.
Now it's rewind.
Three. Oh. No. 7:45 is better. And hello and welcome to episode number 554 of the podcast. I'm one of your hosts, Knox McCoy. Stop laughing, Aaron. This is a good, you can't start on a weird number. If you start at like 802, it's bad. It's a bad episode.
Do you keep your volume on your TV on a certain number, like only odds, only evens?
No, I don't. Okay. I don't. Well, I've forfeited that to the dogs and the children. But everything else, nice whole round numbers. Yeah. That's America. You know, that's what I'm talking about. That's how we make success here right. on the show. Just do it. Just go, I'm other host, Jamie.
Okay. And I'm your other host, Jamie Golden.
The podcast is a show dedicated.
I was going to beat it. Oh, my God.
Oh, my gosh.
Why are we so chaotic? God.
No, we got it. We got it. The podcast is a show dedicated to delightful idiocy, and we're committed to educating you on things that are tame but do not matter.
To find out more about these prognosticative pursuits, check us out at knoxandjamie.com. You can also find us on Instagram and Facebook at The Podcast, and we're on Twitter at Podcast Pod.
Thanks for joining us this week as we are going to be doing the summer movie preview.
But before we do that, as you may have heard, our two podcast live shows of 2024 are coming up in less than 9 weeks. More than 1,000 folks have already made concrete plans to be with us in Dallas on Friday, June 21st, and in Chicago on Saturday, June 22nd. And listen, if you can't be in the room, you can also experience the live show through our live stream option. So you can have a live stream ticket. Last year, we had 3,000 homes sign up for that. We would love to have you for that on Saturday, June 22nd. And we're finally announcing that there will be no in-person live shows in 2025. So these two shows are your last shot for an in-person chaos for the next, who knows what will happen? I mean, who knows where the world will be? Who knows what the next eclipse will
maybe
be?
Maybe we're waiting until the next eclipse.
Maybe so.
I don't know when that is, but maybe we are.
That's right. So make sure that you're with us in Chicago or Dallas this June. You can go to knoxandjamie.com/live to learn more.
In the market for investment-worthy bags, watches, and fine jewelry, Rebag is the answer. Rebag is a luxury resale platform where each piece is carefully inspected by experts to ensure quality and authenticity. Use Rebag to buy and sell finds from the world's top brands, including Louis Vuitton, Chanel, and Cartier. Head to Rebag.com and get up to 15% off your first purchase as a member with code REBAGNEW. Shop today at Rebag.com. That's REBAG.com. And use promo code REBAGNEW for up to 15% off your first purchase as a member.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/achieve today.
Shrink the Box is back for a brand new season. This is the podcast where we put our favorite fictional TV characters into therapy. Join me, Ben Bailey-Smith, and our brand new psychotherapist, Namone Metaxas.
Hi, Ben. Yes, this season we're going to be putting the likes of Tommy from Peaky Blinders, Cersei from Game of Thrones on the couch to learn why their behaviour creates so much drama.
So make sure you press the follow button to get new episodes as soon as they land on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Amazon Music, or wherever you get your podcasts. Shrink the Box is a Sony Music Entertainment original podcast.
All right, Jamie, we are here to do your favorite episode of the year, the summer movie preview. Just talk to me about your headspace right now. Like, you're feeling so happy.
I did not know. Like, when I pulled the rundown, because Knox, behind the scenes, Knox makes the rundown for the episodes. And I thought we were doing a different episode. And when I opened it up, I went, oh, no. But look, Knox has cared for me in a way that is really meaningful. And has made it so that is not as miserable as it normally is for me. So I actually am looking forward to recording this because
that's right.
You made it easier on me.
This is a kinder, gentler summer movie preview. Some of that is just because I do think this was the summer we really feel the burn of the strike and the work stoppage.
Yes.
So we did get some big movies pulled. And this is going to be a little stranger kind of summer movie season. So instead of like going all out and trying to talk so many movies, I think we're going to try to drill down and only talk about a couple. I think this is a good time to be talking about summer movies because, you know, obviously Challengers has already teed off the season. Maybe we're going to talk about that more later. Fall Guy with Ryan Gosling is coming.
Yes.
So it really is like that. You're going to start to see all the explainers out, all the listicles and everything on the internet. So we thought it'd be a perfect time to talk about this. But before we talk about the future, Jamie, do you care to maybe talk about the past and see how we did last year?
So we made predictions for movies that we thought would do. And that's really why this episode stresses me out so much, because we only get to watch like a 3-minute trailer and then we have to consume, like I have to use Knox's magic formula for like, who's the director? Who's the screenwriter? Like, who are the actors? Like, is this a beach house movie? Like, what's the vibe? And so I always feel all the stress of like, I'm going to be wrong. And I normally am wrong, but I would argue this might have been our best year ever, 2023, okay, for predicting great films. So we predicted that. Let me just walk. I'm just going to bullet point some, and then I'm going to tell you, I'm going to camp out for a couple. So we said that The Little Mermaid would make a ton of money, but we did not understand what Flounder's deal was.
Mm.
I think that still holds true. I still do not understand what Flounder's deal is.
Doesn't need to be in the movie. And Marlo still brought up, I've told you she really brings up your scuttlebutt stance. She brought it up again this past weekend.
Did she?
Does she have a reason? Did someone do something?
I don't like that song. I think I don't like that song. I don't like that scuttlebutt song. Guardians of the Galaxy, we said would make a ton of money. It did. It made $845 million. And I ended up loving that. And you were like, if they kill Rocket Raccoon,
yeah,
I will never watch another piece of Marvel ever. And they didn't. Spoiler. Yeah.
Spin they did Zone? They should have killed him.
They should have killed him, right? Yeah. You also said that Will Poulter, you were concerned that he has Benedict Cumberbatch face.
Yeah, he does.
And I would argue he did, but then we saw him in The Bear in June. And then we were like, oh, I like whatever that face does.
That's just because he was baking stuff. If Dr. Strange started baking stuff, everybody would be like, well, is he hot? Is Benedict Dubert
Snatch hot? It is true. We do love watching someone make a croissant. So sure. No Hard Feelings, we said would win. It did. She ended up with a Golden Globe nomination for that film. You greenlit it. Spider-Man Across the Spider-Verse, which we're getting another Spider-Man between the universe. I don't, it's just, they keep adding just whatever. And then we said, we did say The Flash would maybe be great. she was not. That was the one we got wrong.
Now, caveat, we did not say the gentleman playing The Flash was great.
We didn't say
he was going to be great.
That's right.
We said he's sus.
He's
but the movie itself might be great.
And that's right.
I never saw it, so I don't know. We could find out.
The three movies that we said for sure would win in the biggest way, and they did win in the biggest way, was Barbie. We said it would be the biggest film of the year, and we predicted that it would be much deeper than we thought it was. Like based on the trailers we had seen, that's also true. It made $1.45 billion. We have a Faith Adjacent episode where Aaron and I talk about the faith components, how Barbie is a deconstruction text. So go enjoy that. We'll include a link in the show notes. And then Oppenheimer, listen, you were like, why is Cillian Murphy not a bigger deal? He's amazing. And I think this cemented it. He's now a bigger deal. And we did a cinema side piece on Oppenheimer in April for our BFOTs and our friends of the show. You can do a free trial and listen to that. It just came out last week. You were curious if Mission Impossible was going to make more money than Barbie, because you were like, will guys go see Barbie? And ends up, Barbie made three times the amount of money that Mission Impossible made, despite being a good movie that I did green light. And then you asked, will they kill off the Swedish Nightingale? And you were like, I hope they don't have the balls to do it. And they
did. I really ask that?
You did. You did.
Because they 100% killed her off.
100%
like, hardcore.
Hardcore killed her.
Like, I don't know. I know some of the, at the last minute, like Tom Cruise was trying to get IMAXs to show Mission Impossible.
Yes.
But they refused to pull, or like they refused to like set aside the space. I think fundamentally though, Mission Impossible, it's just too arbitrary. Like you don't really understand what the movie's about. So there's nothing to really access. It's just like, oh, good time, bing, bang, fast, fast, run, run. And I think it's almost like a elevated Bourne. You know, like Cruise is more of a movie star and there's like better action commercially. But other than that, it's kind of all just like an amalgamation of each other.
That's right. And Tom Cruise is not willing to ever make a villain be like, he doesn't want it grounded in anything. Cause he's like, no, I just want a vague villain that has, and it's like, no, we're dealing with real villains. So we need real villains in our movies. Now, as for losers, we predicted that Love Again, do you remember what Love Again is about? And
what
who's
is
in
Love
it?
Again? Honestly, I had to Google No Hard Feelings. I was like, what is No Hard Feelings? And why
Jennifer
Lawrence!
No.
I was like, okay, that is good. I see.
That's right. Love Again was the Priyanka, Jamie Frazier film. Which
not
was
Claire,
bad.
But listen, Priyanka.
That's right. Made $12 million. That's tough. Also, we said that Hypnotic with Ben Affleck would be a loss. It did. I said Asteroid City would be horrible. It was horrible. Listen, even Wes Anderson, I think, looks back on that and goes, because if you look at his Rotten Tomatoes movies sorted by score, the only thing worse than Asteroid City is The Life Aquatic with Steve Zissou and The Darjeeling Limited. So
I did not people, like that one.
No, you did not. Of course you didn't.
Did we talk in that episode about how Nick Jonas is in Love Again? So like he's in the movie.
Actually.
Like he cucks himself by watching Jamie Frazier and Priyanka Chopra like hook up. That's a weird move.
We listen, the interesting conversation was I had said Indiana Jones and the Dial of Destiny would be a loser, and you really made a case for like, I don't think it's going to be as bad as you think it was. And I will say it wasn't as bad
as
I thought it was going to be. No, it wasn't. I liked it more than I thought, and you made a good case, and it did make $400 million, but he's not coming back. He was like, that's it. That's all I have. Yeah. I don't have any more to give. And then, of course, you said that Elemental would be Inside Out and Zootopia having a baby with a fourth of the budget.
Okay.
That was true. Their budget was very tight, but they did make $500 million.
You know what's interesting? I just like literally watched that. I was going to dadlight it this episode because I watched it 2 weeks ago with Marlo.
Yeah.
And it was like, it's fine. It's good. She liked it a lot.
Yeah.
You can really tell the budget limitations. Because they do not do much in that movie.
Like the hair strands are not moving like they do in Frozen. Mm-mm. And then we said that Meg 2, The Trench, would lose. Mm-hmm. And listen, how crazy is this? At first I looked it up and I went, oh my gosh, it made almost $400 million. But only $80 million in the U.S. This was a movie for the overseas. Like, so we are going to get Meg 3. Just prepare for that in your heart. And then we did a category last year that was just like, stay frosty. Maybe these will be good. I mentioned The Starling Girl. It was in my top five movies of 2023. You can watch it on Showtime. Knox made a case for Fast X. Fast X made $700 million. And the audience really, really liked it. We did try to make a case for Padre Pio, starring Shia LaBeouf. It did only open in Russia, and it did only make $4,000.
Right.
So that is tough. That is tough. And then a couple things. We mentioned They Cloned Tyrone. I loved it. It was a green light.
Yeah.
It was so good.
It was very, very good. Much better than I thought it was going
to
be.
And you said, I would buy stock in John Boyega, because he seems to be making good choices post-Star Wars. And I think you're right.
He's so good in They Cloned Tyrone. Because he plays like a bunch of different versions of himself. It's really good.
That's right. And then finally, Biosphere. I tried to make a case for Biosphere. You remember the Duplass film where Sterling K. Brown and the Mark Duplass live in a biosphere together?
Yeah.
And they're the last humans. It made $60,000 at its opening weekend. So that's
not a lot.
Listen, I said in that episode, I said, I just desperately want Sterling K. Brown out from under that Mandy Moore umbrella. And look at him. He's getting back under that umbrella. I'm so mad.
And he's an Oscar nominee now. That's what I don't understand. I don't understand. I want him to just take a break and like maybe examine and evaluate the picker, because I feel like it's a little broken sometimes, you know, in terms of like what he invests his strength in. Okay. So that's how we did. I feel like we did pretty well. I feel like that's
we
pretty
did
good
well.
Rundown of what was going on. So for this summer in particular, I mentioned at the top, like, we're not going to get as vast an array of movies, You're really, we're getting some like the big obvious franchise installments, which we'll talk about here. And then we're also getting a smattering of like one-offs, weirdo movies. It does seem like in the shadow or like the rubble of the Marvel Cinematic Universe, you're getting really, really like, because those are so straight ahead and normal and like obviously paced, you're getting a lot of weirdo movies that are just random. They're difficult to explain. Bill Skarsgård's in a lot of them. You know, I'd say that. So I like it. That's a natural zig to the zag of the Marvel Cinematic Universe. But I look forward to talking about those. We'll talk about the big obvious ones first. So like, it's not 45 minutes on Deadpool and Wolverine, you know, because there are probably other podcasts that will do that. I did note some of the movies that were pushed from this summer. Yes. Mission Impossible 8, Captain America, Brave New World. Thunderbolts. I think that's Marvel. I have no idea
if it is.
Okay. Is that the one like people keep like Steven Yeun was like, I'm in, I'm out. And then someone else was like in and out. Okay.
Yeah.
That's a great sign. And then I saw like, I think this weekend, Kraven the Hunter with Aaron Taylor Tyler Johnson.
Sam Johnson.
Right.
Yes. Yeah. It's been moved to August. It's now coming out in August.
Oh, see, I thought it was pushed to December.
Oh, was it? Wait, let's see.
I don't know. I know it's moved.
Well, because it's moved like a couple of times.
Let me quote the Hollywood Reporter, not on the date.
Oh, no, it has been moved to December. You're right.
Okay, December. Because yeah, Hollywood Reporter says, quote, Kraven steps into a date that was occupied by fellow Sony pick, The Karate Kid, comma, a crossover event movie starring Ralph Macchio and Jackie Chan. Do you think that sets up Kraven the Hunter better or worse to win that weekend?
I feel like it's a loss. Like I like the energy of like, you know what? Christmas. This feels very Kraven the Hunter's Hanukkah adjacent. Movie. It just feels like a real... And listen, I love him and I want him. I think I do want him to be the next James Bond. And I know that they're circling him. I do also need him to divorce his groomer, who has a movie coming out this summer. So I do need him to divorce his groomer. Just as a reminder, his wife directed the first Twilight film and she met him and started dating him when he was 17. She was in her 30s. So not cool. Not cool.
Dear.
No.
Not what you want to do there.
No.
So those are not going to be happening. But we did have the aforementioned Deadpool and Wolverine. We have the Furiosa movie, the Mad Max sequel. We have Twisters.
I'm so excited.
We have Inside Out 2. We have Despicable Me 4. We have A Quiet Place, The Quietest Place. That's not really the name. That's what it feels like it should be.
And then, it should just be Quiet Place 2, Quiet Place 3. Shh.
Yeah. I can't decide if I just want it to be shush or like the Quiet Place.
Shut up. Like, why that's can't it good. Be that?
I don't think you're getting Lupita with that. That's my take, but maybe you are.
Lupita was like, I will be in your movie, John Krasinski, but you are going to need to change that title. I'm so sorry. We're getting Joseph Quinn in that. We're getting little hot Stranger Things Joseph Quinn in that. I'm very excited.
I liked your breaks.
He's 18.
I know, man. I love the breaks. Like, no, for the audio. She said, little hot. And then like, you saw like Vietnam flashbacks. And she's like, wait, am I the groomer?
I think he's probably closer to 30, to be honest. But yes, no, I do want to clarify. He's hot as a not character on Stranger Things.
The hotness is not derived by him being a high schooler in Stranger Things. The hotness is just him in real life. Is that correct?
No, that's 100% correct. Yeah.
That'll hold up in court. Yep. And then Alien : Romulus. Those are the big franchises. Of those, which are you like most
excited
for?
Listen, the fact that you left off Beverly Hills Cop : Axel F as a temple, because it's coming out the 4th of July weekend.
It's fair.
You know what I mean? Like, it is Jordan Gordon-Levitt that I love.
I saw that trailer and I was just like, not for me. This is from the 80s. You're rebooting it 40 something years later. It doesn't make my radar, unfortunately.
It is weird that the colon is just a reference to the song. Axel F. Is just a reference to the song by Crazy Frog. Anyway, listen, of all of those, I would say I'm definitely Furiosa with Anya Taylor-Joy, Chris Hemsworth being gross and old. And
Chris Hemsworth with an obviously fake nose. That I hope they say in the movie, this is obviously a fake nose.
I know, right? Sense. And then I am looking forward to A Quiet Place, Shut Your Face. I am, because I feel like A Quiet Place has, it's like, it can do in movie form what Walking Dead couldn't do past season 4.
Mm-hmm.
And so I'm hopeful for that. Like, I'm interested in that. And you didn't mention the Garfield movie. I know it was just a misstep on your part.
Oh, it's because it's one of my
favorites. Okay, take that
I'm kidding.
Out,
it, is kidding. Not, oh. It is not. It is not. Because I realized they put Nicholas Hoult in the John Arbuckle role. Which I don't understand that.
No, listen, the Garfield of it all is the Chris Pratt controversy. Here's what I love about Chris Pratt. Chris Pratt has been in a PR dark hole for years. And some of it was not his fault. Like, I do think people got mad because they were like, oh, he goes to church. Now, he then came out and he was like, and all these actors came out and were like, Chris Pratt is the nicest person on the planet. He's such a good guy. He cares about everybody and all these people. But listen, it's that Catherine. I'm going to start blaming Catherine because listen, they're in the news now. He has to do now press rounds with the fact that they bought a house in LA and they paid $12 million. And it's this famous 1950s house called the Zimmerman House, which was done by this acclaimed architect, Craig Elwood. And they demolished the S word out of it just to the ground so they can build a Joanna Gaines farmhouse. In LA. And I love that so much because now he's going to have to answer those questions. I know he's like, should I have married into this family? That just seemed like a lot of drama. This was maybe a mistake. Like
he
truly.
Does. To your point, he feels like someone who, however you feel about him, he has lost the benefit of the doubt. And now it's tipped to where everything he does is seen with pessimism and scorn versus like, oh no, that's okay. Like that's just a misunderstanding or whatever. It literally everything he's doing feels like it's politicized or it's ramped up or it's ramped down or it's like the no positive intent is assumed.
Right.
And maybe that's for, I have no idea. Maybe it's for good reason. Maybe there's a lot of smoke because there's a little bit of fire of, you know, discontent with his integrity or whatever, but he is overexposed in that regard. And I think add to that, the Mario voice, which I think he made it worse by being like, I've been in the lab for 8 months working on this ding dang voice. And then it was just like, he just added A to everything. But add to that, now that he's Garfield's voice, it just couldn't be harder on the ears for me. It's really
tough. Too much. Listen, I know you're listening, Chris Pratt. Listen, go back to your agent and be like, I need to be in an indie film that's done by like an auteur. And I need to be in a small supporting role. Like, I just think he's got to get out of franchise world. And he's got I need to see him on screen. And look, I would say put on 40 pounds. Bring us back some Andy Dwyer. Like, give us that.
I like that. That was going to be my zig too, is like, go back to Parks and Rec size and like do some character acting, you know, disappear a little bit.
Yeah. No spray tan needed. No spray tan needed. Yeah.
It would be smart. I think I predicted at the beginning of the year that was going to be the movie that made the most money. Although I do think Despicable Me 4 is going to contend because, like, of this list, I was like, which one do I think is going to be the best? I don't know. Which one do I think is going to do the most business? I think it's probably Despicable Me 4. Pretty easily.
And it's opening 4th of July. I mean, like, it's just set to go through the roof for sure.
Is there any part of you that sees Alien, Romulus, and Kaylee Spaney or whatever from Civil War and think, like, this could be good?
No. To me, when you take franchises over, like, 50 or 60 years. I don't know when the first Alien came out. I know that Sigourney Weaver was not, you know, 12, but I just think when you take franchises over that long, it's like you're trying to tap in the nostalgia of boomers and Gen X, but you're also trying to court this new, it's like Scream. I didn't mind the Scream reboot that came out, but like, that was it. We didn't need a whole nother set of Screams. Like I would love, for the love of God and all that is holy, for us to make things that are new. Like, I just would love for us to have something. I think everything you mentioned, right? Everything you mentioned is existing IP. There's nothing, even Fall Guy, that's existing IP. Like, all of it, guys, can we just, for the love, just let somebody write a film and make it for $30 million and watch it make $200 million? What are we doing?
What Cord Jefferson was talking about at the Oscars. Like, of $300 million, let's do 30 and 10 of them. With the Alien movies, that has like Terminatoritis to me of just you can remake these a million times. Even there was a shot of Kaylee Spady in that trailer that I thought, you look like Emilia Clarke when she was redoing the Terminator movies. And I just feel like it's going to go off like a
And look where Emilia Clarke, like, look what she's doing now. Curious about how you can achieve smooth, natural-looking, long-lasting filler results? The Juvederm collection of fillers has 6 unique gel fillers that add subtle volume and are designed for different needs in specific areas of the face, like lips, cheeks, chin, smile lines, under eyes, and jawline. Ask your licensed specialist for a full face assessment today. And download the Allie app, that's A-L-L-E, the official loyalty program of Juvederm, to save on treatments and get a look that's true to you. For important safety information and to find a licensed specialist, visit Juvederm.com. That's Juvederm.com. Not for people with severe allergic reactions, allergies to lidocaine, or the proteins used in Juvederm. Common side effects include injection site redness, swelling, pain, tenderness, firmness, lumps, bumps, bruising, discoloration, or itching. There's a risk of unintentional injection into a blood vessel, which can cause vision abnormalities, blindness, stroke, temporary scabs, or scarring. Talk to a licensed specialist to find out if it's right for you. So the weather's getting warmer, and I'm so excited to say goodbye to jackets and sweaters, and hello to dresses and tees. I'm so glad that I found Quince, because not only can I update my wardrobe for the long haul, but I can do it without spending a fortune. Even Penthouse Jamie, she's trying to save her cash dollars in this economy. But y'all know how I value quality, and I want to find timeless pieces that keep me looking effortlessly chic year after year. Now, Quince has just restocked their $40 linen wide leg pant, which I am super bummed to try. They have such a nice drape to them, and they're 100% linen, which means they'll be super breathable, and I'll feel like I'm wearing no pants at all, which is my preference. I'm also loving the look of the organic cotton gauze roll sleeve shirt, which is also $40. Guys, true story. Like, they have great pieces. I am obsessed with the cardigan I have and the sunglasses I have. The Leon sunglasses are dope. Their prices truly cannot be beat. All Quince items are priced 50 to 80% less than similar brands because they partner directly with top factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing practices and premium fabrics. They cut out the cost of the middleman and pass that savings on to us. Get warm weather ready with Quince. Go to quince.com/pop for free shipping on your order and 365-day returns. That's quince.com/pop to get free shipping and 365-day returns. quince.com/pop. This episode is brought to you by Pear Eyewear. I just love a reason to celebrate a niche pop culture themed holiday, don't you? Whether it's April 25th, known as the perfect date, when all you need is a light jacket. If you know, you know. Or better yet, May the 4th. I'll gladly go all in. I was trying to think of a fun way to decorate R2-D2 in honor of this most holy day of the year, and then I found out that Pear Eyewear just launched a Star Wars themed collection. Now I think I might have to celebrate by getting some new top frames for me instead, because the Force is just that strong in their newly launched Star Wars collection. You guys, I'm not even joking. These frames are so adorable. And when I saw that they had a Grogu gradient, I could not contain my excitement. They have 21 unique designs that are all perfectly niche in the most delightful way. Their interpretations of familiar Star Wars icons are like fun Easter eggs that you can easily snap onto your favorite glasses whenever you're in the mood for a change. I love that their frames are so affordable at just $25 and that changing them is so easy. Hearing that little snap when you change out your frames, so satisfying. From legendary battles to formidable icons, these epic designs are for true fans, and whether you side with the Rebels, the Dark Side, or the Mandalorian, Pear Eyewear has got you covered. One pair, infinite possibilities. Go to PearEyewear.com and use code POP for 15% off your first pair, and support the show by mentioning that the podcast sent you in your post-checkout survey. That's PearEyewear.com, code POP. This show is sponsored by BetterHelp. We all carry around different stressors, big, small ones, whether it's the stress that comes with planning a big event, having to redo the electrical in your entire house unexpectedly, or simply having to go on a picnic lunch when you'd rather be home pantless watching your favorite show. Stress is truly a universal experience that, if left unchecked, can start to affect us negatively. Therapy is a safe space where you can get things off your chest and work through anything that's weighing you down, big or small. I've truly noticed such a difference in my stress level since I started therapy years ago. Making it a priority and a consistent part of my routine has allowed me to relieve my stress in a very safe environment instead of bottling it all. As someone who has a hard time sitting in my feelings, it's given me the habit of reflection so I can identify and deal with stressors early on before they overwhelm me. BetterHelp is a convenient, flexible, and entirely online, making it easy to stay consistent. Get it off your chest with BetterHelp. Visit betterhelp.com/popcastpod today to get 10% off your first month. That's BetterHelp, HELP.com/popcastpod.
There's also, I would be remiss if I didn't mention this, because I know people are probably like, but Knox, what about the DCOMs? We are going to get a DCOM this summer.
I did see
Descendants.
That.
: The Rise of Red.
And I know how much y'all love Descendants, right? Don't you both love Descendants?
Descendants is awesome.
It's not about, I don't think, I won't speak for you, Aaron, I don't think it's about us loving Descendants as much as Descendants being worthy of love, you know, culturally.
I would agree with that. We don't fit into the equation. It doesn't matter what we think.
Is that the girl with the face in it? Is she going to be in it?
Yes, that's correct. The girl with the face.
The girl with the face.
She means Dove. She
had all work done. She had all that work done.
She's not.
Well, no, Dove's not going to be in it, but that's who she means.
Oh, okay.
This is a go, we're going back. Like, we're going back in time. This is like Alice in Wonderland themed, I think.
Mm-hmm.
So the girl who played, I think, the daughter of Ursula, China McLean. I don't know if that name's
right.
She is, I don't know how she's getting to the Alice in Wonderland universe, but it's musical. It's the whole deal. I don't know what to think about it. I was hoping this was going to be a summer where we're going to get Descendants coming back and then Zombies 4 and finally like put a pin in that franchise. But that's next summer. We're getting Zombies 4 next summer.
I feel like some of the Descendants magic is gone because of Cameron being gone. It just makes me really sad. It bums me out. Because I think
it's
Cameron was like the linchpin. I think he was so great. And it bums me out. It makes me really sad.
It's sad when Marla's rewatching episodes of Live Maddie and he shows up at the guest star. I'm like, let's pour one out for Cameron. Let's pour one out for him.
Oh, I love it.
But the Zombies 4, I thought they need to get on with this because Milo's like 35.
Yeah, we're pushing like mortgage time.
Is he still playing a child?
Yeah.
Well, see now the slug line for the next one is Zed and Addison discover the warring worlds of Sunnyside and Shadyside on a summer road trip after their first year of college. So they zoomed up a little bit, you know? Maybe that's like a gap year.
Yeah. Well, then it's not as weird when you are like at craft services vaping. Because it's like, no, he's in college. It's fine.
It's very Saved by the Bell college years vibes. Yes,
it is.
I'm not sure it's going to work.
Okay, so that is the big obvious movies. Let's go. We're going to go maybe two movies to see, one to avoid. Jamie, do you want to kick us off and go first?
Yes. Okay. So the movie that I think we should all see, and I love that I saw the trailer organically on TikTok while I was scrolling one night, and it is the movie Babes. It comes out May 17th. It's directed by Pamela Adlon. It is a friend-com. So, you know, you talk about rom-coms, but I love movies about friendship. And this is it. And it is like two of my favorite comedic actresses, which is Alana Glazer, who many people will know from Broad City. And then Michelle Buteau, who's a stand-up comedian. She was in Hustlers. She's very good. And so this is about Alana Glazer, who co-wrote the film. She is ends up pregnant, unexpectedly pregnant. And it's just her and her friend trying to figure out what to do about this pregnancy. And I like that Pamela Adlon, for those who don't know, she was in Better Things. She also, I think, was in Louis, a longtime collaborator. Mm-hmm. Not anymore. She broke that relationship up. And Pamela Adlon is just this kind of fun, cranky sensibility that I love, which makes me think this is going to be much more grounded than the average friend com, like a Bride's War, you know? And so I'm really looking forward to this. I'm very excited. The trailer is just a delight. You're just so excited and it feels so grounded. It's getting early good reviews. I'm very hopeful.
This is one of mine as well. Lana Glazer to me is one of those, not like when I'm thinking like, who do I most want to see in a movie? She's not in the top of my list.
Right.
But when I see her in a movie, I think, oh my gosh, I can't wait, because she has like a silent sensibility that I think is absolutely hilarious. And it's very consistent too. The cast list on this is really interesting. I've not really come across Michelle Buteau a lot, but she's really good in this trailer. Hasan Minhaj is in this. Oliver Platt shows up from The Bear. I feel like that's always a good vibe. I don't know if you said this while I was looking up some of the info. I've seen this described as Bridesmaids, but for pregnancy.
Yes.
Which I thought that's a clever comp to put on it. So I was reading something a couple weeks ago, and it was talking about how like tired rom-coms wired friend coms.
Love
it. And this seems to kind of follow in those footsteps, because like we've seen the rom-com, we've internalized that dynamic. And honestly, like you're not really even getting into the romance and like relationship and stuff like that. So you're not really doing anything with friend coms. You know, Judd Apatow kind of pioneered. He did this a little bit.
Yeah.
But I think with friend coms, you can really dive into relationships and some really like murky stuff that's very resonant.
Yes. And I kind of love, because in this concept, Alana is pregnant from a one night stand, and Michelle has two kids. And so it's them looking to her for advice, trying to navigate this kind of season. And I just think that's so true to all friendships. It doesn't matter the gender or like what your life looks like. I just think we're always trying to help people get through a hard season, whatever that season may be. And I love that can be ripe for comedy. The other unexpected person in this that I feel like hasn't done enough things is Stephen James. He's in this.
You're exactly right. I didn't recognize him at first.
I know.
But he's so good.
I'm so excited about that.
I think Alana, she's someone who can navigate the really serious, but like chase it with the very funny.
That's
so
right.
It doesn't feel like I'm getting a lesson, but it also doesn't feel like this is low stakes. This doesn't matter. Who cares? Whatever, whatever.
Listen,
so I'm excited to see
this. In Broad City, Alana was always, her character was always so chaotic, but also fully understood the life she was living and the relationships she was having. And it just always felt so good. This movie, it premiered at South by Southwest and was beloved by fans. Beloved. And so I'm very hopeful. And again, this speaks to original IP, not connected to anything. These are the kind of movies, like if we want more of this, if you listen, because let me tell you what Europe and Asia are doing to us. They're giving us Meg 3: The Trench is Full. Do you know what I mean? We can't, if you want not that, you've got to go see movies like this. You can't just be like, somebody literally was like, DM'd me and was like, can I wait for Challengers on my television? No. You have to go see it in theater. We need more movies like this. We need original IP. We need these movies to do well. So no, you cannot wait till it comes to your house. You have to leave your house.
You got to see them churros on the big screen, Candace. Go, day. I think that one of my picks is going to violate exactly what you said because mine is on existing IP, but it's cool IP. Okay, it's writing.
Cool IP. I'm okay with cool IP. I just don't need Alien 19 starring the baby of Maya Hawke that has not been born yet. I just don't need that. Like, I don't.
Yeah.
I don't. It's not the only thing I need. And look, I'm excited about Furiosa. Like, so excited. But yeah.
I think to kind of what you're saying, like, Furiosa, The Quiet Place, Shut Your Face, that is... that is IP, like existing IP, but it's in a different direction.
Yeah.
So I can respect that. I like that. You mentioned the Meg: The Trench is Full.
Sorry.
That really made me laugh. So I just wanted to call attention to it.
Okay,
respect
thank you.
Because it made me think it was like a septic tank. And it's like, we
got to get this thing emptied out before the
winter. I would like a Meg and maybe the end movie is like Meg versus Megan. And it's like the little AI robot deal.
Like Megan goes to the beach and she meets Meg.
Ugh, yeah. And they team up or maybe they fight. I don't know. And it could be like Godzilla XOXO King Kong or whatever. I don't remember what that movie is. But it's one of those where it's like,
they're
are they
love.
Fighting?
Oh my God. Couples.
Are they boning?
Meg and Meg are together.
Love
they're
it.
Boning. And then Godzilla and King Kong are boning and they're taking over the planet.
Double date. I love it. I think it's a good idea. My first pick for a movie that I think is going to be great. And this is one I've read about. I've been all in on, it's because the person in it is someone I'm all in on and it's Glenn Powell. It's Hitman, from Richard Linklater. I mentioned it's, existing IP. That's because it was from a 2001 Texas Monthly magazine article from, the journalist god Skip Hollandsworth. Who, if he's writing about it, is probably something you should turn to a TV show or movie or podcast or whatever. But this is interesting because when I saw the idea, I was like, oh, Hitman Glenn Powell, he's going to be like a con man, Hitman deal. It's going to be super cool. But it's actually, he's a professor who is almost like a dummy hitman that will incriminate people who are wanting to hire a hit person. He does it for a city police department. And so it's him in all different kinds of disguises and garb. It's almost like a, I don't know, spiritual cousin to the Fassbender, David Fincher Hitman movie. But like just wackier and zanier, you know, this is Richard Linklater. So, you know, it's going to be great. Glenn Powell. I'm interested in this because he has so much charisma. He has to play it down. I think the biggest suspension of disbelief in this movie is he's supposed to be like a nerd, you know, And I just don't know if he's capable of pulling that off.
I just don't know. But look, all of the early, because I think it was at, in the film festivals in the fall. And so all these reviewers that I like who've already seen it and I follow on like Letterboxd, they love this film.
Yeah.
Like they're like, this is what Glenn Powell was meant to do, like these kind of roles. And so, and, you know, wasn't he in, what was the Richard Linklater that was the, Everybody wants some.
That's exactly everybody. Right. And that's a great, I think I greenlit it. It's a,
you did.
It's a college baseball team and yeah. It's a great movie. It's
and
so
Glenn Powell's in that. And so I like that they have a history and now maybe Richard Linklater can have a muse that doesn't have to be a child. Who makes a movie over 20 years. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
I would love that.
That would be a positive development. I know Glenn co-wrote this. So they're invested in that aspect in regard. I think this one, what I was confused about was this one in Venice in 2023 in like September. So I didn't understand why it was taking so long to get to the US. But, you know, I'm excited that it's coming. I did watch most of Anyone But You this weekend.
Okay.
Did you watch it?
No.
Okay. Aaron, I'm going to ask a question on the answer to. Have you seen Anyone But You with Sydney Sweeney?
No,
and
I have not.
Because now it's streaming, right? That's why you, it's,
that's, it is
the,
streaming
that's
on Netflix.
The rom-com, right?
Yes, that's right. That's exactly what it is. I don't know if it's good. Right. I think Glenn Powell is very good. When they're together, it's good. I don't know. Is she good or not?
I don't know. To me, because I like her in a couple things, but like, I do think she gets, obviously she gets a lot of attention because she's a stunner. She's a stunner.
Oh, is that some of the notes? I don't see her like that. I just see her as an artist.
Oh, yeah, right. Okay. So, no one, have you ever noticed any part of her body? Anyway. But I liked her in, what was the film that she did where she was the person in the army who leaked secrets?
I don't know what you're talking about, but I know I've seen the picture and good reviews on that. Good reviews on the horror movie she did.
Immaculate. I did watch Immaculate and she was good in Immaculate.
Euphoria. She's incredible.
Right.
And then Handmaid's Tale.
White Lotus.
I thought she was
White
really
Lotus.
Good. White she Lotus. Did. She's very. So I don't know. It was almost like a contrast of styles because it was really in Glenn Powell's sweet spot of just like banter, kind of a douchebag, funny, charming, confident. I don't know that that's her bag.
Yeah.
I think she's better when she's serious. And so her having to like be kind of funny and feisty and everything, it wasn't really landing for me. But also that movie's just not very good. It's just not very good.
Here's the problem. I just don't think rom-coms, I don't know. I don't know that we can do them anymore. Like we can try. But you have to remember, everybody who's nostalgic about rom-coms, if you go back and watch those rom-coms, you're like, okay. Because you're remembering the best ones. You're remembering the When Harry Met Sally. And I would not argue You've Got Mail as a best one, but you are remembering Sleepless in Seattle. Mm-hmm. Stunner. You're remembering, I would even argue, like a Sweet Home Alabama that's just super cute and super sweet. But I think if you go back and watch Failure to Launch or anything with Gerard Butler,
yeah.
Anything with remember when Hugh Jackman did rom-coms with Ashley Judd? Like, oof. Those are not good. Rachel McAdams is in so many bad rom-coms. They're not all The Notebook. Do you know what I mean? Like, and I think our nostalgia is just that. It's just a waxy film over, I miss rom-coms. And I do miss rom-coms. I just think they're in book form now. You just read them. You'll read them.
You know, I think, it's because when I was watching, I was like, oh man, because it's a rom-com, it has to be like 90 minutes. And so you have to get into it really quickly.
Yes.
So the thing that ties the movie together or like sets off the conflict is so perilously done. It's like someone left without telling someone and someone overheard them talking to Gata from Dave about how like he's a player or whatever. And that's why you guys hate each other. So I think to your point, I feel like the romanticy.
Yes.
Number one. Number two, Hallmark movies. And then I think number three, I think the depth and the quality of friend-com movies that we were talking about earlier, I feel like that's left, like the music stopped and rom-coms don't really have a seat anymore. So it's weird to see one out in the wild.
Yeah, we're waiting on Emily Henry books to get adapted and Sarah J. Maas books to get adapted. But
what about the Coho? You want to talk about the Coho movies?
Listen, I like that Coho movie was supposed to come out in like June and they were like, oh, no, because of the strike. Was it because
June of 2030? Did you think is no? It's not this year. It's later.
It's coming out in August. And again, Knox, he has done a good job of convincing me that August is not a wasteland anymore.
Yeah,
and that it can be a positive place to put a movie. I just again think I forgot that Justin Baldoni was directing this movie as well as starring in it with Blake Lively, and that again for those reasons I am out. I loved him in The Virgin.
Yeah,
My Sweet Virgin, 30-year-old.
Is that
virgin.
What it's called?
No, what's it called? What's the TV show?
Sweet Virgin High. Was Catfish? It Sweet Valley High?
Listen, when you come in and try to help, it makes me so happy.
Aaron, how did you get to Catfish?
Isn't Justin Baldoni the Catfish guy?
No, he's not. But no. I will give you this. He looks just like him.
He actually does look like him. Jane the Virgin. Everybody was saying it while they were listening. I'm sorry. I love Jane the Virgin. And he's in it and he's great in it. But I don't know. And look how far we've come from Coho, where all we were thinking about was Coho, Colleen Hoover, the author. And now it's like all we think about is Sarah J. Maas. Like we just forgot Colleen Hoover existed. And we're like, and we've
been. She's like, Galaxy Brain, you don't adapt anything I do now. So you can't poop on it. Yeah. You just buy my books. Okay. What else did you like for the summer?
Okay. So I am also looking forward to The Hitman. But for my choice, I was like, what's A24 got going on? What they got coming out? And they do have a film coming out called Sing Sing. And this is based on Sing Sing, the maximum security prison. The film centers on a group of inmates who are trying to make the best of a bad situation, which is being in prison. And they are starting a theater group and they are staging a comedy. And this stars Coleman Domingo. And look, Coleman Domingo, he's where it's at. Like, I love seeing him on red carpets because he's the best dressed in Hollywood. But he's also, you know, he famously got nominated for an Oscar for Rustin. He was very good in that. It was a mediocre film, but his performance was excellent. And then we're getting Paul Raci, who's also going to be in this, who, by the way, Sound of Metal, if y'all remember, he was a supporting actor in that. He was so good. And so, and then chaos ensues because somebody has gotten into the theater group that may have malicious intentions. And they're doing their own, and this is my favorite part, they're doing their own play that they have written themselves called Breakin' the Mummy's Code. So I'm very excited about this because it came out at film festivals in the fall. It's 93% on Rotten Tomatoes for those who saw it, the 14 critics that wrote about it at the time. They're saving it. It's coming out in July. I am really looking forward to this. I feel like A24 always is going to be the studio that goes, hey, we can make something. You know what Cord Jefferson talked about? We can do that. We can make something that can be meaningful and thoughtful and unexpected. And that's what this movie feels like to me. And I love a good drama in the summer. You don't get many, but I do love a good drama in the summer.
And I hope this gets the run it deserves because Coleman Domingo, I feel like he's very not just underrated. I feel like he's underknown, you know, in like the larger pop cultural landscape. So I think he could really make an impact. I'm going to go. I stared at Kinds of Kindness.
I'm so curious about this.
It felt like I'm one of my like, whatever the opposite of superpower is, one of those is like bad timing for me.
You're kryptonite.
So like if I'm in traffic. Yeah, thank you. Kryptonite. Like if I'm in traffic and one lane's going, when I switch lanes, it's like the Q theory. That one slows down and then like the other one speeds up. So I feel like if I jump on with Yorgos now, after being really annoyed and like not liking his movies, this is going to be the weird one because this is like three, I don't know, like vignettes that collapse into one story. It's like 2 hours, 45 minutes, which is a long time for a Yorgos movie. The picture of Quali, Jesse Plemons, and Willem Dafoe hugging each other feels like it's trolling me personally. Yeah. I don't
Because Willem think looks I, so Don. He looks so nurturing. He looks so nurturing in that. Yeah.
And like Emma Stone, like white girl breakdances in the trailer.
Yeah.
I don't know what it's about, but I'm like, is this the one that I should like?
So this is the premise. Kinds of Kindness is a triptych fable with segments following a man without choice who tries to take control of his life, a policeman who is alarmed that his wife, who was missing at sea, has returned and seems to be a different person, and a woman who is determined to find a specific someone destined to become a prodigious spiritual leader. We also get a little Joe Alwyn in this.
Emma Stone, I didn't even know that. I didn't see him in the trailer.
Oh, yeah. Emma Stone, who said, I'm not going to unfollow Joe Alwyn. Like, we're friends. We're in Yorgos universe together. And people didn't freak out about that. They didn't forget.
Is anyone worried that she's going to get lost in the Yorgos sauce? Sorry. I know. I don't love it either. But no, you know what I'm saying?
No, because, and I get it. Like, they love each other. She's like, I get his vision. Yeah. I encapsulate his vision. I don't fight. I don't push against it. So I get nervous because I want to see her do other things.
See, so I'm not going to do that one. That was a big hezzy hay. That was a big pump fake. Everyone bit and you look ridiculous
I
now.
I did. I know.
Instead, I'm going to do, I don't know if you've seen anything on Cora Bora. This is Megan Stalter.
Yes.
Evidently, and I'm going off speculation because I think at South by Southwest, or if you go, you get to call it South By, but I've never been, so I can't do that.
No, we can't do
that. This got a lot of love, a lot of attention. It stars Megan Stalter, who, for everything she's been in, I think she's in Hacks as the owner's daughter of the agency that the guy works at, and she's also, she was in Please Don't Destroy's movie. She's excellent, great comedic timing. I love that they've built a movie around her. Chelsea Peretti shows up in this. Blonde Heather from Glee, that one of the dancing cheerleaders, she's in
Heather,
this. Sorry, this is as good as I could do.
Heather Morrison.
And then Jason from The Good Place, the Jacksonville Jaguars fan. He's in this among others. But she is basically, she's got a relationship that's not going great. And she goes back home to win her partner back. But along the way finds that it's not just her love life that needs saving, you know, stuff like that. So I'm excited to see her showcased.
I'm very excited because I love her. Listen, the way I was introduced to her was the best way possible, which was she did a TikTok/reel in 2021 where she talked about corporations who were trying to engage with Pride Month. And she is at a butter, like she's at a company, like a country company that makes butter. And she'd be like, you guys come get your gay butter. We love the gays here. It was so good. She herself is a member of the queer community. And so it was so good. And just her sensibility in the way that she thinks about everything, that's in a way that's so universal that you can connect to it so quickly. Cause you're like, yes, that is a weird thing that we all understand that we don't talk about. And so I'm excited about this film for sure.
Yeah. Okay. Do you want to talk about the movie you're not excited about for the summer?
Listen, you already know it's bad when I'm going to tell you the parts that are involved in it. And then when you watch the trailer, it will confirm everything you suspect to be true. And that is the movie Atlas on Netflix that comes out May 24th, which is an American sci-fi action thriller, right? Okay, I'm in, right? Directed by Brad Peyton. You might be like, what else has he done? He did Journey 2, The Mysterious Island. He did San Andreas with Dwayne Johnson. He did Rampage. He did the Netflix series Daybreak. None of these things are memorable. That's fine. This film stars Jennifer Lopez, Simu Liu, Sterling K. Brown, and Mark Strong. Mark Strong, someone who I always get pumped when he shows up because he's like this weird dilf that I'm very into. Guys, let me tell you, Atlas Shepard. So Atlas is the name of Jennifer Lopez's character. Atlas Shepard, a brilliant but misanthropic data analyst. Nothing says misanthropic data analyst.
Yeah.
Now, you know how J-Lo...
But she's brilliant too, though. That's important to remind
She's brilliant. And don't get it twisted. She's brilliant because she let her hair go wavy for this film. Okay. She has a deep distrust of AI. So she joins a mission to capture a renegade robot with whom she shares a mysterious past. When plans go awry, her only hope of saving the future of humanity from AI is to what? Trust it. Please play the trailer. There is a scene. Simu Liu is the enemy in this, by the way. He's like one of the enemies. And she's like, if you want me to catch Harlan. Well, no, wait, let me do that again. She's like, if you want to catch Harlan, you got to let me be on this mission. And I was like, I cannot believe. And guys, it serves. This trailer just keeps serving. Like, she starts talking to the AI as if they are falling in love. And I have died 1,000 deaths watching this trailer.
Am I to understand that Simu Liu is the AI in this scenario?
No, he's actually in it. No, he's in it. I don't know who the voice of the... Because, of course, she gets in... Something goes crazy, and she has to get in. And Sterling K. Brown's like, get in! And she just gets into her own little spacecraft. And then the robot, the AI, and she's like, are you a robot? And he's like, I'm not a robot. I'm AI. Those are guys. Those are quotes.
I do feel like AI would be very sensitive about being called robot. Like it's a very different thing.
That's a very different thing. It's like when people say Texas is the South. I'm like, how dare you? Texas is not the South. That's a different thing.
Neither is Missouri. This is a very nuanced conversation. And if you don't want to engage, don't start it. So on the cast list, Jennifer Lopez again is named Atlas Shepherd, like you said.
Right.
Simu Liu is Harlan Shepherd. So son, lover. Brother? What are we thinking?
I don't know. I don't know from the trailer. I don't have enough information. And if that tells you everything, this comes out in 3 weeks. This comes out in 3 weeks on Netflix.
Can I be honest with you? I've never heard of this movie.
No, you
haven't. I did not watch this trailer.
You didn't know this was coming. Listen, there's a scene where she's talking to the AI who has a very generic voice. That's why I couldn't figure out from this cast list who it is. But she's talking and she's like, do you see the world differently than me? And he's like, I do. And like, then she touches.
First of all, great question, Jennifer. You misanthropic, brilliant data scientist.
And then she touches flowers in her spacesuit on some sort of planet. And I'm like, what is this? Is this going to be my whole personality after Bridgerton?
And she flexing on the AI of like, I get to touch flowers and you touch data grass.
I'm just telling you, I really want you to watch this. I actually want you to watch it right now while it plays. For the audience, because I'm going to make you put this trailer in this episode.
I was already sad for Sterling K. Brown for this was us. This makes me really sad. Although I will say, you know, we're not going to go through the whole like Stay Frosty manifesto of like, you might be watching a bad movie if this is happening. So like, you know, the list is always like, if there's more than four writers, blah, blah, blah.
Right.
On that manifesto list, this violates, I think, rule number two, which is this is a beach house movie, right? Yes, right? Everyone's getting paid. So no one's giving like their best effort. They're not even like looking at the script. They're just acting in front of a green screen, cashing that check and then moving on. So I will say maybe that's the benefit for Sterling K. Brown. You know, do you think, man, I just saw the trailer where she touches flowers. You didn't tell me it's her robot hand. It's not even her hand.
It's not her hand. It's her robot hand. No, because they merge in the trailer. They talk about, she's like, so I'm going to see everything from your perspective. And he's like, yeah. Is this what it's like? And then she says, is this what it's like for you? I was like, is this the dialogue of this film? Oh my God.
Do you think acting in a Jennifer Lopez movie is like the new Dancing with the Stars? You know?
Oh no. That's
it's like,
so
you'll
sad.
Do it. But like, you know what it is when you do it.
You know what I've started to think? I've started to think that J-Lo is Dwayne The Rock Johnson. Like they're just two sides of one coin. Right. Okay. And sometimes they stumble upon something good.
Yeah.
But for the most part, no.
When has The Rock done that is my question. Moana.
Moana?
Yeah. The Voice.
That's it. People liked Jungle Cruise.
I included. I did like that. Man, I thought, because we talked before we recorded, and I was like, I wonder if we have the same bad movie for this summer, and we obviously don't.
But you didn't even know about Atlas. I'm so glad I could introduce you.
No, mine is Unfrosted : The Pop-Tart Story.
Yeah, listen. Directed by
Jerry Seinfeld.
A movie that Pop-Tart is not involved in.
Okay, I did not know that.
No.
Because this felt like, you know, if the Barbie trend was going to be like, oh, we'll take like our disassociated IP and turn it into something profound or weird or leverage it like the commercial viability of it. This felt like that kind of move. But like with Jerry Seinfeld's fingerprints on it, which personally, I'm not really a Jerry Seinfeld guy. You know, I know like mileage may vary, like with your sense of his comedy and his brand of humor, but especially with movies, I think he's gotten to the point where he seems like he's still in the mid-90s. And like, if you don't like it or think it's funny, it's a generational, or like you're too soft or something.
Yeah.
And I don't think that translates well to this movie. This movie violates another part of the Stay Frosty manifesto because you got to ask, are there too many famous white people in this movie?
What?
And there are in this one.
All of particularly, which, who should be making better choices.
Some. Well, not all.
Yeah, not all.
Because like, I'll read out, and there's two in particular that if you see them in your movie, you know you got a problem, and I'm gonna see if you can call them out. Okay.
Okay.
Aaron, you can play too if you want.
Okay.
You got Jerry Seinfeld. You got Melissa McCarthy, Rachel Harris, Christian Slater, Jim Gaffigan, Hugh Grant, Kyle Mooney, Mikey Day, Patrick Warburton, Kronk, Amy Schumer, Max Greenfield, Cedric the Entertainer, and Andy Daly. Which two of those people, if they're in a movie, you know you got a real trash stand?
I know who it is, and I don't like saying it.
Okay. Who is it?
One of them is Melissa McCarthy. Oh. I'm really sad about it.
Listen, okay, I'm sad.
There's a caveat there. If her husband's directing, you're
yes,
right.
Yes,
he's not in this one. Oh, okay, so okay. She's not.
Then yeah. She's good.
Right. I would say Mikey Day.
That's one, Jamie. That's one.
Is the other one Jim Gaffigan?
No, I think it's Kyle Mooney.
Yeah,
who
the pair.
Not even SNL could use. They were like, we don't need it.
You just Mikey Ben Day. Moon's heart. Ben Moon listen, loves him some Kyle Mooney.
I do
loves
too.
Him some Kyle Mooney so much.
But not, right. I don't need him in my movies. You know? When the host of Is It Cake is like prominently featured in your movie, I would just say maybe reconsider this. It seems very like punny, absurdist, heavy on the parody, which I feel like could be fine in maybe more deft hands, but it almost seems like one of those, I'm trying to think of a good, it's got like an airplane sensibility, you know?
Yeah.
Just like very flat joke, not flat, like very just straight ahead deadpan. And that's not my vibe. You know,
and listen, I saw Jerry Seinfeld in New York do stand up, and he does a bit about Pop-Tarts, which is what prompted this. This was in 2019. And he does a bit about Pop-Tarts that made this into a film. The craziness is, why would you not involve Pop-Tarts, who maybe did the best playoff football bowl in history? Like, can we all just take a moment and remember the Pop-Tart that gave his life for the football players who won that game? Like, this was such a perfect opportunity to join with a brand that can really help you. Also, Jerry Seinfeld is doing press because this comes out shortly. It comes out this month. Yeah. I think this week.
It this week? That's not a good sign.
I think it comes out this week. And he said, he was like, you know, the reason we don't have sitcoms anymore is because everybody's woke and political correctness. And I went, yeah, we don't have sitcoms anymore because nobody watches network TV anymore except people your age.
Yeah.
Like, that's what we're just trying to communicate, that that's just not the platform anymore. We're just making a different type. We're not going to make MASH again. MASH was amazing. I loved MASH. I watched MASH with my mom. But I'm just saying we're not going to make that anymore.
No, and it's unfortunate, because is there something to the idea of like, you can't get away with stuff like on The Office with Michael Scott's character? Could you make that nowadays? No, you couldn't.
Yeah.
And why couldn't you? That's an interesting conversation. But to just be like, people don't get it, they're just too woke, I feel like that's so, I don't know. That's such a
make it more interesting. If you want to have a real discussion, make a more interesting argument. I just think it's like, I'm a really wealthy guy who doesn't have to work if I don't want to.
Yeah.
And I can get a movie made, and people will Kyle Mooney will come be in my movie. Like,
God, what a get.
And we'll see. But, you know, this is all in the vibe of, the problem is some people have done this really well. The Blackberry movie, so good.
Yeah.
The Beanie Babies movie, not good.
Not as good.
Really like, well, see what camp this falls into. My guess is the latter for sure.
Yeah. Like the Tetris, Blackberry, even the Nike movie.
Yeah.
I thought these were all really good. This does not look like that. I didn't have anything else. I want to talk about The Crow. Looks like if Nicholas Sparks made a movie about the Joker, like getting revenge, and that's pretty much it. That's all I had.
So purple.
I think I'm, so back purple. To black with Marissa Abella. She's absolutely. In Amy Winehouse.
Listen to me right now. If
anyone, I like her. She's great.
Yeah. But she's not even, they're not, I can't. The trailer, I was like, who's that voice? Whose voice is that?
That's hers. That's Marissa Abella's.
Well, she does not seem like Amy Winehouse at all. So maybe we shouldn't have let her do. Like, I just think a poor little, who played Elton John in Rocket Man? He did such a good job.
What's that kid's name?
Taron Egerton.
Thank you.
Dang, Aaron. Calm down. Town.
Listen, if somebody sings good in a movie, if somebody sings in a movie, Aaron knows who it is.
I may not know about Justin Baldoni, but I know about that.
In a million years, I would not have guessed Taron Egerton.
Egerton did such a good Elton John impression and sang, like, it was perfect. I just don't understand how you can do an Amy Winehouse and be like, will it matter if it sounds like her? Yeah, it will matter.
I think we have to have some standards. I'm in the Aaron camp of no more Elvis. We're good. I'm kind of like that with musician biopics. Like, I just don't need any right now. But
you're getting Bob Dylan though. Timotei's coming.
But it's like, if we got to, I do feel like we have to have some standards, some like Geneva conventions of like, you got to be singing and you got to sound like the person. Otherwise, get out of here, man. Not doing
it. How do you feel about just, I'm looking at my list. The bike riders were finally the comedy of the bike riders is that it was supposed to come out last year and it got delayed and it's been delayed many times. It is coming out. We all are in a motorcycle club and it's Jodie Comer and Austin Butler and Tom Hardy, which listen, welcome back, Tom Hardy.
Yeah.
Nice to see you not as Venom.
I'm going to make a life in Jodie Comer's Midwestern accent. Like she's doing like not bears. Like that's her whole thing. I love it.
I did not know this was coming, which was Horizon : An American Saga.
Yep.
I like that Kevin Costner was like, I put up with 5 seasons of Yellowstone so that I could make what I've been dreaming of making with Sienna Miller.
That's right.
No one speaks cowboy more than a Sienna Miller cast.
No one looks more frontier than Sienna Miller. We all agree on that. This was like a runner up to my hate of the summer. Number one, because he's releasing 2 parts. One June 28th, one August 16th.
That's such a Texas energy. That's just like Texas to be like.
I don't hate it, to be honest. God, I love the swing. Like, let's innovate a little bit. He did break up Yellowstone to do this. Like, this is why he forced his way out.
Right.
So thoughts and prayers to Taylor Sheridan and all his money. But in the trailer, I visibly reacted. I gasped when I saw Ribisi.
Right.
Because there's not a man looking like Giovanni Ribisi on the frontier. There's just not. And then when I heard Luke Wilson, I was like, oh my God, is that Luke Wilson's voice? And he was out there like baptizing people or something. I thought that was strange. But this does continue the trope in all of his stuff of much younger, very attractive women dying to have sex with Kevin Costner's character. It's been a Piper Parabo or whatever her name
did it. Piper Parabo. Yeah.
It's just baked into my skull how to say it. She did it in Yellowstone. She was like a animal rights lib, but like they still had sex. And now we're doing it again in this.
You know
show.
Why?
Also his son is in this, his youngest son.
God, you know why? 69 years old. He's like, I'm the perfect age.
Nice Kevin Costner. Yeah, when you watch the trailer and you're like, who's the kid who can't act? That's Kevin Costner's son, unfortunately. And it really sticks out. So,
yeah, because I did see Ethan Hawke is directing Maya Hawke, his daughter, who is a great actress, in a Flannery O'Connor and biopic that comes out this summer, but like quietly.
Oh, I did see that. You're right.
Because Ethan Hawke had to address, he was like, yeah, Flannery O'Connor, he was racist. Obviously. Like, and we're gonna lean into that in this film. We are gonna talk about her racism. So I know some people are just discovering that Flannery O'Connor.
I'm just gonna leave the silence in, moment of silence for Flannery O'Connor, like for me personally. Because I think this was, I mean, like, if you'd asked me, was Flannery O'Connor probably racist, I would have probably said yeah. But like, I'd never confronted that.
Listen, it's like the Helen Keller of it all. You know, we're all like, was Helen Keller pro Holocaust?
Yo.
Yeah, she was.
Yeah, I don't know about that. She was just mega communist.
No, she was a communist, but she was like into eugenics, which, by the way, would not have served her if that had been the law of the land. Do you know what I mean?
Like, it's like so the Clayton Bigsby, Dave Chappelle character, where it's like the white supremacist African-American. It's like, what was going on? No, but Helen Keller, the Helen Keller amount of communist she was so bad that they had to bring in the big communist to be like, chill out. You're doing too much.
You and Henry Ford need to calm down. Like,
you're scaring people. Stop.
And guys, if you're listening and you're like, what are they talking? Ken Burns. Just watch Ken Burns.
Look it up.
He'll ruin all your state heroes. Trust me.
God, why are we talking about that? How do we get to
Flannery O'Connor. Because of the
Here, did you know she was racist? You just took that in stride.
She uses the N-word.
Oh, for real? Like, she uses it? Or like the characters use it? In her short stories. I don't love it. I don't love it. Official stance. Don't love it.
It's bad. I mean, listen, it's bad. It's not great.
It's not bad. Yeah. I will say one movie that I saw at Sundance, and you always make fun of me that I see things at Sundance, but because I was
don't go to Sundance.
I know. I was in my living room. I did Sundance at home, but I did see Thelma, which comes out June 21st, which is June Squibb. Who doesn't love a June Squibb moment? And
me,
she,
I'm the guy. I just it. Not for me. Glad it exists.
No, but listen, she is. She gets scammed by Aaron. You'll really love this. She gets scammed by a phone scammer, and they steal money from
her. How dare you? How freaking dare you?
And she goes on a kind of Mission Impossible adventure across LA to get her money back, and it is adorable. It is so good. People, you will love it. I'm going to greenlight it when it comes out. I promise.
Go see it, Aaron. Take your charcuterie board and notepad. Take some notes. Get your money back.
And all your and all your block numbers on your phone so you don't get scammed again.
I won't do it again. It won't happen ever again.
Well, that's our conversation on the summer movie preview. I feel like it's pretty comprehensive. I feel like we've led the people down a good path. So I look forward to their thoughts on Atlas and other things like that.
I want to hear your feelings, guys, on Atlas. Yes.
If your thoughts and opinions on our thoughts and opinions, please let us know at nextgen.com/554. If you've ever felt overwhelmed while trying to find the perfect gift for someone special in your life, then please take a knee. I'm here to put an end to your search. Songfinch lets you create an original radio quality song inspired by your own life and the people you love. It's completely unique, personal, and lasts forever. Here at the PMG, we want to put them to the test. Could they really create a song about anyone? Well, we'll let you all be the judge.
I am Pickles, the legless horse, but not legless for long. With all my friends by my side, I will find who the culprit was. Who stole my legs? Who stole my legs?
I don't know. I kind of feel like this needs to be our new intro song. You know, artist went above and beyond, and it was so fun to see what he came up with. He even took the time to ask us for more detail because he wanted to make sure he got the essence of Pickles correct. It was such a fun process. Whether your song is for Father's Day, an upcoming graduation, wedding, or anniversary, or even just a gift to show your loved one how much you care, start your song now to lock in one of Songfinch's top artists. For a limited time, Songfinch is letting our listeners upload their song to Spotify for free so you and the lucky person you gift it to can listen to it anywhere, anytime. Go to songfinch.com/podcast and start your song. After you purchase, you'll be prompted to add Spotify streaming for your original song for free, a $50 value. Again, our URL is songfinch.com/podcast. Don't forget to share your song with us too. songfinch.com/podcast.
Shrink the Books is back for a brand new season. This is the podcast where we put our favorite fictional TV characters into therapy. Join me, Ben Bailey-Smith, and our brand new psychotherapist, Namon Metaxas.
Hi, Ben. Yes, this season we're going to be putting the likes of Tommy from Peaky Blinders, Cersei from Game of Thrones on the couch to learn why their behavior creates so much drama.
So make sure you press the follow button to get new episodes as soon as they land on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Amazon Music, or wherever you get your podcasts. Shrink the Books is a Sony Music Entertainment original podcast.
This message comes from BOF sponsor eBay. You'll know real when you get it. It'll say eBay Authenticity Guarantee. And you'll feel it. Maybe it's a head-turning handbag, a watch that says it all, jewelry that makes you look like the gem, or sneakers and streetwear so fresh every step feels fly. eBay gets it. So look for the blue checkmark next to that thing you love. And be confident that every inch, stitch, sole, and logo is checked by experts. With eBay Authenticity Guarantee, you can trust that feeling of real is always in reach. Ensure your next purchase is the real deal. Visit eBay.com for terms.
All right, Jamie, you want to do some lights?
Let's do some lights!
All right, what is your red light this week?
Okay, my red light this week is the response to a trend that went viral on TikTok. And I want to ask you the question. So this started from a video that was released. It was a man on the street asking people questions. And this came out in April. It's been viewed 14 million times. If people are listening and are like, well, is that a lot? Yes. The number one TV show on network TV right now is Tracker. Cannot believe that, by the way. Tracker with Justin Hartley.
I've watched a little bit. It didn't like golf clap slaps. You know what
okay,
I mean?
Okay.
It's like a full on slap, but it is a little slappy.
That's right. So that's the number one show on network TV. This TikTok got twice as many viewers as that show gets. Okay. So that's how big of a deal this TikTok was. So he asked the question, would you rather, and I'm going to ask both of you. So Aaron and Knox, would you rather be stuck in a forest with a man or a bear?
That's a great question.
Listen, the hesitation tells you everything you need to know about patriarchy right out of the gate. Because the answer should be man out of the gate. It should be man. You'd rather.
Why should it be man?
Because we should be able to be like men. Men are safe and they're trustworthy. And I would rather be with a man than a bear that's going to murder me.
No, that's okay. That's disingenuous. The premise is like both want to hurt you. That's how it's interpreted.
How did you know that was the premise? Why did you assume that?
What I thought, truthfully. Yeah,
because if it's bear or like your mom, then it's like, well, obviously your mom. But well, if it's like bear and Mr. Rogers, Mr. Rogers. But because it was like one super violent, it's so obvious that it's been obscured.
No, I didn't say that. I just said a man or a bear.
Aren't yes. men one of the like highest like ways that women can die?
I mean, it is the number one cause of women's death are men.
So maybe it's a male sure. female thing here.
It's like men and then heart disease. Okay, let me ask you another version.
Hold
of the
on,
question.
Is the idea that men are just not more dangerous than bears? Like straight up?
Well, at least as.
Well,
do you think bears
question.
Are interacting with women on a day-to-day basis? Do you think if bears were like tendering with women, that number wouldn't be a lot higher? Probably.
Listen, I like that I knew how this would go asking an Enneagram 5 this question, and it is going exactly like I thought it would go. Like, I love that. Because you're asking about the details.
Okay, if it's a normal man or bear, it's obviously man.
Right.
This is ridiculous.
Yeah.
Yes.
But women on the street, when asked this, were unanimous that it was bear. They were like, well,
it's not that it's unanimous that it's bear. It's that it's like, let me think about it.
Yeah. Let me take a beat.
If you want to show evidence of the patriarchy, there's a lot of ways to do it. This might be the stupidest way to do it.
I'm
to
not
be
saying
honest
it's not
you.
Stupid.
Because like in light- court of law, there's a reason you can say objection leading the witness, right? Because
fair.
I'm guiding you down a data point. That is not
I
fair.
Would be interesting. Well, and all I said was, if you were stuck in the forest, would you rather be stuck with a man or a bear? That's the question. The problem is people want to add all this stuff to it. That's why it's my red light. Because everybody makes it complex when it's like, don't make it complex. Just think, what's your gut reaction? Would I rather be stuck in the forest with a bear or a man?
But I think you've accessorized the question with an implication of danger. So it's not fair to be like, the guy is not dangerous. But if the guy's dangerous, I'm more interested in this question.
Okay.
If the guy's dangerous, would you rather be in the woods with a dangerous bear or a dangerous guy?
Bear.
I think bear because it'd go fast.
Oh,
so you're thinking like he will kill you fast.
You want to die first.
Well, I'm going to die probably either way.
No, you're not.
With a dangerous
with
man?
I mean, with that attitude,
you
are.
Can live. You're very smart.
I am. I'm not that smart. Not in the woods.
That's not true.
But like he just said, it's a dangerous man and a dangerous bear. I would rather go fast rather than like he's going to like take my skin off and like make a skin suit out of me.
See, there you are again. You're making suppositions about this dangerous man. Maybe he's dangerous,
listen,
but he's
as someone
ethics.
Who has,
he's like dangerous,
listen,
like dangerous.
As someone who has yeah. ever, who has gone to her car at night for her whole life, holding her keys in her hand, she's suspicious. Of the yeah. dangerous men. In
well,
the
to woods. Be fair, most people go to their car with their keys in their hand. So I don't think that means.
Stop it. I don't. No, but like as a weapon, I'm always. Listen.
Sure.
Master Lock.
Like between the knuckles, you going to mess listen, somebody up.
But if it was a woman and a bear, what would you. If I said, if you were stuck in the woods with a woman or a bear, what would you pick?
Is the woman Uma Thurman from Kill Bill? Or is it just a woman?
It's just a woman.
Aaron, you said bear. You said dangerous man, dangerous bear. You prefer bear. Why?
I think as a human. I could maybe outsmart the bear.
Don't like, hedge. You
yeah,
could.
No, I mean, maybe.
Yeah.
I don't.
You are very savvy.
I mean, I feel like I've been in outdoor environments enough that I could climb a tree.
See, I've only been to patios at restaurants.
Yeah.
I don't.
Yeah.
You're
I don't
have
outdoorsy.
A, yeah. I don't have a history. I'm really indoors.
Right.
And occasionally go out.
Right.
Yeah.
Sure.
But
sure.
I feel like I could. I feel like I could work it out. At least stay alive
okay.
long enough.
Okay,
bear's
to be
big.
Rescued.
Bear smells. I know where the bear is. Man, I mean, this is what they say about the about humans, the most dangerous animal, right?
That's what I'm saying. Like the BTK yeah. killer, like that. I can't fight against that.
Yeah, Knox. If it no. was a dangerous bear or a dangerous man, what would you pick?
Okay, spin zone to the BTK thing. If like I know what's up, like you're not like hiding in the shadows, serial killing me, like because like your games and such. I like one on one. I got him. I can
no,
take him down.
No, but he's sliding in like he's a repair guy. He's sliding in. He's,
yeah, but Aaron, in the woods, you don't have anything you need repaired, so you know what's up.
But my,
like, this
but
is BTK.
My point is like that's another level. Like
yeah.
the bear doesn't have that kind of a knowledge base. The BTK
right.
guy does,
but he can't trick you in the woods and be like, hey, do you need your cell phone repaired?
right,
let me.
Interesting.
He can scheme you out of $5,000 by calling you.
But I also don't know.
Hey, what was your best friend's last name, real quick?
What was your high school boyfriend's last name?
What was your first car, make and model? Thank you.
Yeah, I mean, I get it, but I'm saying, like, I feel like the BTK of it all could be like he could be more wily
yes.
as opposed to a bear. I'm like, that's a brute force situation. I know what I'm getting.
there's a subtlety with a bear.
Exactly. Right? So basically you're saying bears are stupid.
And right. Bears, I didn't say that. I didn't say you're stupid.
To all
she
the bears
said
listening.
Yeah. To every bear listening, I didn't say that.
Berenstain Bears are pissed right now. I would say I like Aaron's logic. I like the challenge of a dangerous man in the woods. Like,
weapons are
let's
fist.
Challenge ourselves.
Every time.
You know? Yeah. What if the man has a weapon and you don't?
What kind of weapon? What do I have?
Like
equal weapons?
Machete.
Like we both got bullwhips?
So I'm saying you don't have one.
He's got a weapon, but I don't have one. It's the woods, baby. I can find one. There's
no
weapons everywhere.
There are no weapons in the woods.
Rock was the first weapon. That was the original OG weapon.
That lady that got killed by BTK Killer Killer, her key ring with Master Lock on it. It's sitting there in the forest. Yeah.
No, it's not.
And I could use
She's dead because he's...
Yeah, but she didn't take her... She didn't go to heaven with her Master Lock. He can find that. Nuck's can find it.
Mm-mm. Listen, Rock, I'm not trying to brag. Back in the day, your boy could get to 87 on the radar gun, you know? A couple of those by the chin.
Uh-oh.
Level
play. Do you think he's still good, though?
No.
What's it going at now?
57, maybe.
30.
And I top out at 10 pitches, and then my arm thrown out.
So if you just got a lot. You got to get that bear in 10 pitches.
I got 10. I told you all about when Ashley made me throw a rock at an eagle because it was stalking a duck near her house.
That's illegal.
You can't kill an eagle.
Oh, I'm sorry. Not eagle. A hawk. I always do that.
Oh,
jeez. Yeah. It definitely
was
a hawk.
American government. He definitely did not throw a rock at an eagle.
But like,
a hawk can pick up a duck.
I know. And it was like, she was like, you got to save the duck, Knox. So I was like, well, I will just throw this rock at the hawk, not the eagle, the hawk, and like scare it off.
Yeah.
And I rear back. I hit it straight in the chest.
Shut up.
And it didn't do anything. It just like looked down at its chest and the rock was like, what was that? Like, I got tickled. And I was like, oh man, that's tough for the ego. So I just picked up the duck and like left and like walked down to the greenway with it.
Oh my gosh.
So yeah, it was sobering. But if it was a dangerous man in the woods, that would have like knocked him out probably. Man.
Well, see, this extended red light proves my point that this whole discussion is chaotic. So good job. Okay. Yeah. What's your red light, Knox?
Speaking of chaotic. I put this link in the main show notes.
Yes, I'm
file.
So excited.
The head coach of Oklahoma State football program, Mike Gundy, has listed his house for sale. And you can find it on Zillow. And any house that's like for sale by a head football coach of a college program, you know, I have certain expectations about what I'm gonna see. This kind of exceeds that. This to me. It looks like the final boss that the Queer Eye guys will never defeat. They will never be able to overcome because of just the rampant masculinity and the rampant animals on walls
this
kind of energy here.
Unreal.
It's huge. I mean, it's great if you're in Oklahoma. I feel like you can get a lot for your buck. You know,
$1 million.
It is $8 million for just under 14,000 square feet. And it can be yours for $8 million if you're willing to live in Stillwater, Oklahoma, which I don't know if that's a good or bad thing, Aaron. Like, is
that near
Stillwater?
Oklahoma City?
Where is it?
Where's Stillwater?
Stillwater's close to Oklahoma City. Everything's kind of close to Oklahoma City. There's just,
wow. Oh, it's just in the middle. It's flat.
Just a Oklahoma drive-by. Boom. Right in your face. My favorite part's there's a pond with an island in it, like that's big enough to leave two bachelorettes that got voted off or something. and that's it. There's a bunk room with 5 beds, and a Tupac poster. Which Tupac being on the wall of the head coach of Oklahoma State is probably not what he wanted. You know, I know he's fighting holograph battles right now, but there's probably also some he'd want to fight. But most of all, there's a shower with not one, not two, but 3 shower heads. And I wanted, speaking of 3 chair Aaron, I wanted to get Aaron's sense.
All right.
Of like, I don't know, like the 2 shower heads, I get that, I guess. Not my vibe, but whatever. But 3, what's
the
point?
Well, you gotta have a rainfall. Then you gotta have a handheld.
These are not rainfall. They're all like different parts on the shower.
So I would say head, like
head,
your hair.
Yeah.
And then your front bottom and your back.
And your back bottom. Yeah.
But see, it's not like that, right? It's not like aligned. It's like 2 yards apart from each. So it is almost like community bathroom shower situation.
Oh, like they're like in a line. Like a locker room?
I'm going to be
right,
honest.
That's right.
I've never seen a house this khaki before.
It's very khaki.
It is the brownest house. And that flooring is garbage. Like, who did that? Why
the
is there so much
tough.
Wood in this? Why is there a balloon valance in the breakfast nook? It's not 1997.
There's multiple washers and dryers, which I get for 14,000 square feet. Listen, but the it's like a it, you can tell the tension of like, I'm very masculine.
Yeah.
But I do have taste and an aesthetic I do want portrayed here in this house.
Well, Aaron, justice for Charon, little Ed Charon.
I don't know that I want
because they have two couches and a chair in their primary bathroom.
Look at that.
Primary bedroom.
Look at that.
Good.
Look at that.
Listen,
so I just want to red light that, you know, this, maybe a little bit more intentional staging before you put that on Zillow.
Also, this mortgage is $50,000 a month.
That's a big old payment to hit. Oh. Football coaching, it's good business right now. So that's my red light. Jamie, what's your green light this week?
Okay. My green light this week is the brand new movie, Challengers. You guys, you are not ready. You've seen this trailer. You're like, this is a horny movie about sport. And that is accurate. It is a horny movie about sports. But it is so much more. This is about Tashi, a tennis player who has turned into a coach, who has transformed her husband from a mediocre player into a world-famous Grand Slam champion. She herself was a tennis player, but an injury took her out of active play. To jolt him out of his recent losing streak, she makes him play a challenger event, which is the lowest level of tournament on a pro tour. And tensions run high when he finds himself standing across the net from the once promising, now burnt out Patrick, his former best friend, and Tashi's former lover.
Okay? That they maybe had a threesome together with?
Maybe. Maybe. Listen, this is Zendaya. This is Josh O'Connor. Josh O'Connor, who you would know as Prince Charles in the middle seasons of The Crown, which he is throwing 1 million. He's so dirty and gross in this. I love him. And then Mike Feist. Mike Feist, who you may know from West Side Story, who was great in West Side Story. I didn't know. He's like from Ohio, and he's like a... He originated a role in Evan Hansen and like got a Tony nomination.
I did not know that.
I know. And he's great in this. This movie has slum. If you know Slumdog Millionaire, it has Slumdog vibes where you kind of get the story on the front and then you're like, how did we get here? Like, how did this all happen? You will be on the edge of your seat. I don't know if it's the combination of the cinematography and the soundtrack from Atticus and Trent. I don't know what it is, but you are on the edge of your seat this entire film. You look up and you're like, oh my God, I've run a race. I've run a race and I'm very aroused. What happened? What went on?
I have a question.
So good.
This I saw this described as a raunchy movie. Is that true?
No, okay. I do not. I mean, it is rated R. Like, don't get it twisted.
R for raunchy. That's R,
facts. And you are going to see some diglets, and it's the diglet you want to see in the end.
So plural, like, oh. Plural diglets.
Well, he's got it out a lot. Like, to be honest.
Okay.
But it's,
the way you answer that made it sound like it's a guy with two diglets. So just like
no,
yes or
just
no.
He just has one that you see more than once. So the math is, it does feel like two, but it's just the same one.
Okay.
Both times. But it's not raunchy in the sense that, I mean, raunchy is relative to everyone. For me, it wasn't raunchy.
Sure.
And I didn't feel weird. Sometimes I'll be like, when I was in the theater watching Saltburn, I was like, are we all, oh, don't look at me. Like, I just was so nervous that someone would look at me in the theater. This was not like that. This was very like the crowd laugh. It's funny. It doesn't take itself too seriously. The whole thing. And everybody has sexual tension with Zendaya and she's playing a hard, tough cookie. And she does a great job at it. Like she does.
I was curious if she was going to depart from her typical type, you know, of like, inaccessible emotionally, vacant at times. I, as someone who has steadfastly refused to appreciate the great skill of pilots in the air after completing their jobs of shepherding human souls from ground to air to ground.
Right.
Randomly, I'm just going to ask this because I feel like I should. Did you feel compelled to applaud this movie, stand up and applaud, much like people would applaud pilots?
Right. I did not stand up, but I did applaud because we did. We all applauded because
everyone in the theater did the God's Not Dead and like clapped at the end.
Well, there were like 30 of us in the theater and because it was Thursday night but we all applauded that because it was, I think you went in thinking, oh, this is just a horny thruple film. Like, and it is that, but it was so much more. And what he was doing, such interesting things the whole time. I immediately was like, well, I have to go watch that again. Because it's almost like, you know how like you get those videos on in Reels or TikToks that are funny and they're like, focus on somebody different each time. It's like dogs at the at the groomer. And you're like, focus on a different dog each time and you're going to have a good time. That's I thought, oh, I have to see this three times. I have to watch Zendaya. Then I have to watch Mike. And then I have to watch Josh. Like, because each one is doing something very
My God, what a free time flex you just laid out.
I know. But look,
Also, you thought this was more impressive than a human shepherding, putting people in a metal tube and then taking them over like the United States and landing them. You thought that's more impressive?
That's 100%. Listen, that's your job. And we've been flying.
Thought it was better to applaud people who will never hear your applause.
We've been flying for 100 years. Like, how hard is it? Like,
we've been making movies for a long time, too. But you applauded people who can't hear your applause. Why not just let the pilot know, hey, buddy, good job.
Because we were just all so happy to be in a movie that wasn't a Marvel film that was trying to make us, like, I didn't have to understand it. Listen, he makes the camera be the tennis ball. And at first I was like, I won't like that. And I was like, I was into that so much. Like, I loved it so much. This film is so good. Guys, go to the theater. Do not wait for this to come to your house. Go to the theater. This is so good. This is a perfect date night film. Perfection. It is so good. I was so surprised. Listen, it's my number one film of the year. I put it ahead of Dune 2. That's how much I loved it. Now that may change at the end of the year because I have recency bias.
That's
crazy. Still, I love it.
That's crazy. So you're in a forest. There's a bear. There's a man with two churros.
Right.
And another man. And they're touching each other. Which way you going?
Oh, listen, if I thought right now that I
could. One of the men's BTK.
Oh, it's no, both of them. I'm going. I'm going to be like, eat that banana right now. Eat it right now. I would do it.
Okay, what's your my green light? It's just as horny, arguably more.
Oh, good. Oh, yeah.
Yeah, this is a book. It's called The Wide, Wide Sea, Imperial Ambition, First Contact with the Fateful Final Voyage of Captain James Cook by Hampton Sides. I'm kind of in my bag right now of historical sea voyage homies taking trips, hijinks ensuing. And that's what this story is about. I didn't know much about James Cook when we'd gone to Hawaii. I'd learned a little bit about him, but not in this context. And because I think I greenlit The Wager by David Graham a couple months ago, several months ago, same kind of deal. And I'd read Hampton Sides before. I didn't realize I'd read him before. I greenlit Hellhound on His Trail and greenlit it. It's about the pursuit of James Earl Ray after assassinating Martin Luther King Jr. Yeah. So I love his style of storytelling. But this guy, he's a seasoned pastor now with books because he writes very cinematically. And sometimes you can get ground down in like the sea voyage stuff of like, who got the scurvy? What's this guy doing? Who's swabbing the deck? Whatever. He doesn't do that. He like gets you the stuff you need to know so like you understand like the story of the journey, but not so much that you lose yourself or like get super bored. But this book in particular, it tells a story of arguably one of the most important voyages in the age of exploration by Captain James Cook. He leaves in 1776. So in the middle of the American Revolution, he leaves Britain and he's recognized as at that point, the greatest explorer in British history. And this is his third voyage, probably a little too late. Like he's probably a little too old for this voyage, but he takes off anyway. And then 2.5 years later on a beach in Hawaii, he's killed in a conflict with the native Hawaiians. And the question is like, why was he killed? What led to this? What happened? How they get to that question is fascinating. And there's also a couple rabbit trails they take that are super interesting in terms of cultural contact. I think we tend to think in broad strokes about like European voyagers were the worst and had no ethics. Cook's really interesting because, you know, you can't take him out of this time period. But there are several instances where he doesn't let his guys go on island because he's like, we've never met these people and y'all nasty and you're going to mess them up with venereal disease. So we're not giving them syphilis. So he was like thoughtful in that respect where mostly you don't really get that kind of sensibility. But it's if you're at all interested in history or the age of exploration or cultural discovery, this is a fascinating book and I urge you to check it out.
Oh, I want to read it. It's 4.6 stars on Goodreads, which is unheard of. That's
excellent. I read it in a day and a half.
Okay. And then one last green light. You guys, our listener survey is a green light. We want to hear from you to make the podcast as great as possible. We have an audience survey. And if you have a few minutes to spare, it would be incredibly helpful if you could fill it out. You can go to knoxandjamie.com/acastsurvey. The link is in the show notes. This survey, it helps us find out like what you think's working on the show. And it also helps us to attract sponsors to the podcast. It gives us information which we can use for that. And having sponsors is actually what helps us keep the Wednesday episodes nice and free. So the link to the survey is in the show notes. Again, you can find it at knoxandjamie.com/acastsurvey.
And that's going to do it for this episode of the podcast. For Garmin Ranting Review shopping on Amazon, make sure to go to amazon.com/shop/cpodcastfirst. You purchase zero for the link. I've ever added purchase using that link this week was, Jamie, this is a 12-pack of Coke Zero.
I love a Coke Zero. Aaron, are you Coke Zero or Diet Coke?
Neither. I don't like Coke. It's gritty.
Okay. Well, all right. So this has 4.
It's gritty. gritty in my teeth.
Got it. Got it. Diet Dr. Pepper, right?
Mm-hmm, yeah.
Yeah. Okay. So this got 4.8 stars out of 5. People love it. They don't find it gritty at all, except I did love YPM's review, which was 1 star and says, I'm less Coke now. And the review said, after Coke told me I needed to be less white, I tried Pepsi. Excellent decision. The reviews on here are so chaotic. All right, you guys, don't forget, live shows in June. You can be with us in person, or you can be with us via live stream. Go to knoxandjamie.com/live. The link is in the show notes. I'm Jamie Golden. You can find me on the internet at Jamie B. Golden.
I'm Knox McCoy. You can find me on socials at Knox McCoy. Thanks for listening. See you next time.
Bye, guys.